Let us pray. Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and may the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I'm a privileged person. I've been blessed with the opportunity to travel. I've been many places in this world, and I've really been so blessed. But by far and away, perhaps the most favorite place I've ever been in my travels is the country of Turkey, where I stood on the tempered glass that covered the excavated boyhood home of the man who wrote these words, the Apostle Paul. For this I was appointed, a herald and an apostle, a teacher. Because this is Rally Sunday, that's why I chose this portion of the text, a teacher of the Gentiles. These are thy holy words, Heavenly Father, inspired and written by your messenger and teacher of the Gentiles, the Apostle Paul. Our prayer this morning is a prayer we often pray, that you will sanctify us in your truth, for your word is eternal truth. Amen. It's a name you might expect in a Norwegian Lutheran community in Iowa. Mrs. Grace Hansen. A teacher of the Gentiles, whom, when she wasn't around, we called Gracie. But when she was within earshot, it was always, and properly so, Mrs. Hansen. You see, Gracie was a school librarian, a no-nonsense person who didn't wear purple. That's a Petersburg joke. Like another school librarian most of us knew. You can draw your own picture of my Gracie in your mind's eye, as many of us don't have to do that with Ruth Sandvik, both of whom are indelibly imprinted in my mind's eye and will forever be remembered. Both Ruth, from my time here 10 years ago, and Gracie. Now I'm asking you to forget about Gracie, okay, for a minute. I'll come back to her. Today I'm coming out of retirement. Up until now, it's been a piece of cake. Preaching, visiting, going to a meeting now and then, and of course, a little bit of fishing. But eighth graders, you know, we start confirmation this morning. Eighth graders, whom today I met, that's a different piece of cake. While it's a privilege, and I'm looking forward to it, is a challenge for a 79-year-old man with eighth graders. Pray for them. But don't forget to pray for me. In reflection on confirmation, mine was held on Saturdays, 9 to 11. The first hour was taught by our pastor, and he taught us Luther's small catechism, Pastor Hinderacher, like the Apostle Paul, a teacher of the Gentiles. Pastor Hinderacher was seldom seen in anything but a black suit, not exactly Saturday morning dress on the streets of Petersburg, But if you look at the parade of pastors on the wall, the pictures over in the Holy Cross House, you'll see that some of those former pastors were made of the same cut as my confirmation pastor. Well, the second hour of confirmation class was taught by Mary Ann Swigum, Mary Jane Swigum, Bible history. Like the Apostle Paul, a teacher of the Gentiles. The old Norwegian church called it confirmation, but they also called it reading for the pastor. Any of you go back to that? You remember that? Yeah, you do. Reading for the pastor. I don't know where that phrase came from, but it didn't really have anything to do with reading. It had everything to do with reciting. My first recitation of the assigned memory work for that week ritually was held every Friday night to my mother. My two sisters' basketball games were held on Tuesdays and Friday nights. And during the winter months, if I could not perfectly recite my memory work by supper time on Friday, my dear mother's rule was, "Son, there's no basketball game for you tonight." In my recollection, my mother never had to enforce that rule. I was a perfect kid. What's so funny, Bill? And to this day, much of that memory work is still remembered. This is my catechism that I hold dear. I carried that catechism with me wherever I went for 2 years and 3 months. It was always in the back pocket of my Levi's. I'll forever be grateful for Pastor Hinderacher and for my more kindly school teacher trained mother who insisted on memory work. This morning when I met with our eighth graders, I warned them that that was also ahead for them. Not as stringent as was placed before me, but there'll still be some memory work required. You might be wondering now about Gracie. I'm coming back to Mrs. Hansen. Also like the Apostle Paul, a teacher of the Gentiles. Our beautiful classic church building was and remains to this day back in Iowa, a classic limestone brick building, beautiful stained glass throughout, beautiful hanging fixtures, pipe organ, lots of bells and whistles built in the 40s, and lots of classrooms. However, they were short, like in those days when the church was so huge and growing, they were short of some classrooms. It seems like my confirmation class should have had a better accommodations for Sunday school class. We were there 2 hours on Saturday. You'd think they would have given us a pretty nice place on Sunday. But no, we 28 eighth graders drew the kitchen. And the librarian, Mrs. Hansen, for our teacher. What I would like to do now, the rest of my sermon time, is to recreate that classroom. And I'm going to be that wonderful Gracie this morning as my class gathers here before you. I need some students, huh? It's time for the children to come. Don't all jump. Up there. Kids, come on up. Find a place on the floor. Just sit down. But not just the kids. We've got to have some teachers. Come on. Teachers, teachers, come on. Teachers. Those of you who have been teachers, either in public school or in Sunday school, come on. Any parents want to come? You're welcome. Yeah. Education committee people. Anybody involved with the teaching stuff in our church? We are now in Gracie's, what? Kitchen. In our kitchen back in our church, some of us boys jumped up and sat on the cupboards, and we had folding chairs for some of the girls. Now, what did Gracie do in class? I talked a little bit about memorizing. Yeah, dear old Gracie, the first class we had to memorize. Our book was a study on the book of Acts. And on that first class period, we learned Acts 1:8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Okay? Let's learn that. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth. Which, one of which is, one of the uttermost parts of the earth is, huh? You got it? Petersburg, yeah. Petersburg. Let's say that again. But you, yeah, Petersburg. Together. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the earth, and Petersburg. Who wants to say that by themselves? Not you. You? Okay. Well, that's a little long to learn all at once. But this week over in the Rebbe house, all the little kids learned one Bible verse. And it was Ephesians 4:24. It's just a part of that verse, and it goes like this. Be kind to one another. Is that hard to memorize? No. That's pretty easy. Let's say it. Be kind. Yeah, you got that down real easy. What does it mean to be kind? Having fun with your friend, not being mean. That's pretty good. Anyone else? Holding the door for someone who has a lot of books in their hand. That's being kind, yeah. Anyone else? Helping someone. Mm-hmm. A lot of people need help, don't they? You always can find somebody to help. Be kind. Any other? Big people, too. Visiting older people? Homeless people. Lonely. Yeah. Anyone else? Be nice to somebody who's not nice to you. Yeah. Yeah. Yesterday, I was visited someone in our hospital, Colleen Nicholson. I was telling her about my class this morning, that right here, Gracie's Kitchen. And I told her that I'm going to have the kids learn be kind to one another. And she asked me, "What do you think kind means, Pastor?" Well, she asked me that. You know why? Because she wanted to tell me what she thought kind was. Yeah. We do that sometimes. We ask questions so that we can then give the answer. Mrs. Nicholson said, being kind means paying attention to someone. Boy, that really struck home for me. Paying attention. That's what you said, Katie. Yeah. Visiting someone who's lonely. Or that's helping someone. Paying attention to their need. And then I asked Mrs. Nicholson, "Do you know, have a synonym for that? Another word that sort of means the same thing? Paying attention?" And what would you come up with? What? I heard it. Who said it? Oh, why aren't you down here? You're close. He's your grandma. Yeah. Listen. Oh, it's so kind when you listen to someone. And some of us have a hard time listening because, oh, I want to talk. But listening is really being kind. Yeah. Susan, can you lead us in that song? I had a couple of songs that I was going to lead, but, you know, she didn't say it in this way, but just really, I got the message. She said, "The songs you've chosen, we don't sing those anymore." In other words, you know, I'm an old geezer, you know. So we're going to sing the kindest.
The one that he wants us to sing, girls, the one that kept me, is in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit. It's a repeat after me. Yes, an echo. In the name of the Spirit, in the name of the Spirit, in the name of the Father.
Yeah.
So if they will sing with me.
Okay. And we'll repeat.
You guys all echo. 1, 2, 3. In the name of the Father.
In the name of the Father.
In the name of the Son.
In the name of the Son.
In the name of the Spirit.
In the name of the Spirit.
Three in one. In the name of the Father.
In the name of the Father.
In the name of the Son.
In the name of the Son. Name of the Spirit.
Three in one.
In the name of the Father.
In the name of the Son.
In the name of the Son.
In the name of the Spirit.
In the name of the Spirit.
Three in one.
Yay! Now join hands with someone close to you. And let's pray. Dear Jesus,
thank you for loving us and being so kind to us.
Help us to love you and to be kind to one another. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, could you grab the cookie jar back there, please, for me? Yeah. Okay.